batch number 11961, row 7.
Ralph Miller, Reel 7. We're talking about when you went off to get your training. Now, which unit were you actually being sent to join?
Pardon?
Which unit were you actually being sent to join?
The mechanical transport, for the RAS, RASC, Royal Army Service Corps, but MT. We used to dress out the letters, RASC, Royal Army Service Corps. And then we used to have to put MT at the end of it, the mechanical transport.
And where did you get your training? Grove Park, was it you said?
Grove.
Whereabouts is that?
Grove Park. It's through Lewisham. It's through Lewisham.
And could you describe exactly what, as much detail as you can, what training you got there? What did they teach you?
Mechanically. Steam engines, different parts and what they're intended for and the proper training, say, mechanical.
Did they train you, how to use the engines, but did they train you how to upkeep them or repair them, or what level of training?
Grove Park was what they call a dispersal centre. All the old watches that was coming back from the war was coming to Grove Park, and they was lined up along the roads, and then they were sent away for a dispersal. You see, there was convoys going of petrol lorries, petrol cars, steam engines. You mention it, it was all there, you see.
And did you learn all of those things, how they worked? Or?
Well, yes, I'll tell you how it come about, you see. When they, of evening, a sergeant major would come round and he'd say, there's a convoy going to so-and-so, see, a petrol convoy. Well, you turn around, you say to him, if you didn't want to go on it, I'm a steam driver, you see. Well, then, when you come the next time, they say, there's a steamer's going to so-and-so. I'm a petrol driver. But they rumbled him, and they said, get on that.
But so you were working straight away as well as being trained, or did they train you first?
Well, of course, that's the way they trained you, you see.
Practically?
They put you on a lorry, and you'd never been on before. But anything with WD on, it passed anywhere. It don't matter whether you knocked a lamppost down or knocked a house down.
War Department,
The War Department, yes, that's right, yeah.
So what engines were you trained in altogether then?
Well, I was trained in all types. John Fowler's.
What were they?
Well, there was a traction engine, Marshall, and...
made another traction engine?
A traction engine, yeah. Phone wagon, that's a little steam wagon. The Sentinel is what we used to call a coffee pot, because the boiler was upright on them.
They were all basically types of traction engines.
Well, of course, a steam section, you see. I got a photograph at home with about a dozen in a row, you see, all... What's it? Let it off.
And what did they teach you about the traction engine? What did you have to learn? What was there to learn to operate them efficiently?
Well, we had to learn. We had to learn to drive it. We had to know all the rules of the road. You see, they used to, the Sergeant Major at Grove Park used to say there's a lecture lad on steam tonight. Let me see your reports in the morning. Well, we used to have to go to this lecture and what we ever dotted down on our reports, what we'd be told, he'd check up on it, you see. He'd say, not too bad. Yes, well, it sort of come to you automatically, you see. And they'd say, well, get on this or get on that and get on the other. Same as when we passed the mechanical point, he'd say, now, why don't you go in for driving? Be a driver mechanic. It'd be good for you. Well, you go in for it, you see.
So first you were being trained as just a mechanic, were you?
Oh, just a mechanic. Yes, but then after, you see, they they persuade you to go a step further and get in the driving as well.
Would the mechanic go on the traction engine with the driver? I mean, was it a crew of two?
Oh, well, you are. You're the medic and you're the what is it, the driver as well, you see. You're a driver mechanic.
But I thought you had two people on a traction engine usually.
Yes, well, the other's a stoker. You see, the other's a stoker. Well, a stoker, they used to make him a corporal. See? But
are they in charge then?
What?
Would that to make them in charge?
Well, no. It was just because I was in the position, you see. So, like, when we went out on farms, hay baling and things like that, you see, he'd be second in command of the driver. You see, if he'd very likely be doing the important part of the job of feeding the baler with the hay or something like that, you see. They wouldn't trust anybody to do that, so they'd put him to do it.
So what did the driver mechanic have to do then?
Oh, well,
what were you trained to do?
Well, the driver mechanic, he has to drive it along the road and take it to the farms and get it into different positions and set the flywheel up for the belt to drive the hay baler or whatever you're working, you see. He takes it in full command. He's the driver mechanic, and anything goes wrong, he's supposed to minor things like you drop your neddy or...
What's that mean?
Well, it's... neddy is a... It's a plug over the firebox hole, you see. It's a plug over the firebox hole. About an inch nut, and it's full of lead. Well, if your water goes too low in your boiler, the heat from your fire melts that lead out of that's what they call dropping neddy. The steam what's left in your boiler comes out and puts your fire out, smothers you in ashes and dust and muck, you see, and that's just what they call the neddy.
Well, you'd have to be able to repair that, would you?
Oh, well, of course, what you do, if you carry a spare neddy, you've got to wait for all your boiler and everything to go cold, because you've got to get in your firebox to screw it up underneath the arch of your fire. You got what I mean? See? Well, you got to wait till it go cold, perhaps the next day, and then screw it in and away. If you keep one already filled up with lead, and that you just simply replace it.
So, how would you go about starting a traction engine then? What did you have to do before you started one up?
Well, before you start a traction engine, the first thing you do is to see that you get water in your boiler. And the next item would be to see that you got sufficient fuel to get your steam up for a journey or something like that. You have to, on a journey, you have to miss all manhole covers, and you must allow your engine to blow off steam. Of course, them days it was mostly horses, you see, and if you was to let your engine blow off with steam and start losses, you get yourself into trouble. But that's your stoker's job is, if anything like that should happen, he's got to jump off your engine and go and assist that driver on that horse, either catch hold of the horse and lead him by, or give him what assistance he wants, you see.
Did you have to keep a constant steam pressure?
Oh, yes, you had to keep a sufficient to for it to run of that. But, of course, when you was going uphill, you would look at your water gauge, and your water runs from the front of your boiler down to your water gauge, you got what I mean? To this end of the boiler, so that you might have a glass full of water. But when you get up the top of that hill and get on the level, all that water's run to the front. So, eventually you look and you haven't got no water in your boiler. You see, there's all them tricks in driving steam engines to what there is a motor car.
But what about this business of keeping a constant pressure of steam up? In your notes you said you had to keep it at a certain figure.
Oh, well, if you've got a good stoker, he'll level your fire out. He don't make a big fire, but he'll level it out so that you'll keep a consistent weather. If you're going to approach uphill, see, you don't put water in your boiler then, because you want all the steam you want. But as soon as you get over the brow and you go down the other side, then you can put some water in and you can bring your steam down, because you practically run on their own.
And what about the steering? Was it just a normal sort of steering wheel? Was it difficult? Was it a difficult one to manage?
Oh, no, it was a steering wheel. It's on a chain. You see, the chain, you'd have to do about a turn and a half before it affected your wheels at all. And then, of course, you'd have to miss manhole covers and all the rest of it. Now, in the winter was our best time.
Hang on a minute, I'll come on. I'm more thinking of the actual how you did it. You know, what about braking? Did you have any sort of brakes?
Well, a brake. What you had a brake on your flywheel of your engine, but your main brake was what they called your reversing lever. That was on the other side of the cabin, you see. If you pull that back to dead centre, she wouldn't go forwards and she wouldn't go backwards. She'd be fixed.
And would it stop fairly quickly?
Oh, well,
if
yes.
Yes.
You wouldn't be going fast before you'd done that. Otherwise, you'd put a strain on your, what they call your expansion links.
What's that?
Well, that's on your engine. Your expansion links is with the effects you're reversing, your forward and your backward motion, you see.
So they taught you all this at Grove Park?
Oh, yes, you could, all your clack valves and things like that. Well, a clack valve is a valve that's the end of your pump, your water pump, or your injector, you see. It's like a cone, and it tapers. It's the same as if you went to blow a motor tyre up. If you hadn't got that connection on your pipe, on your pump, you wouldn't pump it up. Well, it's just the same with a steamer. You get that little hole that allows you to put water in your boiler, we'll say up against 500 pound pressure to the square inch, but you wouldn't be able to pump it in. But that little hole, the end of that clack valve, allows it to go in there for that.
You carried a good supply of water on the
talking about water, what we used to do if we was going on the same voyage for any length of time, we used to get the ditches and we used to see the water running down the ditches the side of the road. We used to get our fire shovel and we used to dig a sump hole, let the water run in there. Then we used to get the stick with some white rag on and push it in the edge, and as we was coming along we used to know. We'd look at our water gauge and look how the tanks were, and if we wanted water, we'd stop at one of them white rags, and because we knew we got a sump hole there, and then we'd pick the water up. But many a time in the summer, when you get a little country pond or something like that, you know, with little moor ends or something like that paddling about. Well, if you're short of water, you'd dip your nose in there, and there's a grill on the end, and, you know, it filtrates for you. Stop too much rubbish from going out. But many a time, we've emptied cottage tubs, you know, where they put a barrel outside the house to catch the water. Well, many a time we've had to go and half empty one of them. We've had to leave the people a drop, you know, but they got no option. If it's war department, you could claim anything.
No. You said you had to learn the rules of the road as well. What were they connected with traction?
Oh, well, manhole covers, you see.
Okay. Was that not running over them because they'd collapse? Or?
That's right. You've got to watch manhole covers. And
what else?
You're not supposed to run on the same track every time. If you're going down that journey day after day, you're supposed to vary. Yeah, the distances, so it's not to run over the same space every time. And you were only allowed to go through a country village at about 3 or 4 mile an hour.
How fast would they go then?
Well, how fast will they go? If you've got a big traction engine, you could go a matter of about 15 mile an hour, but you weren't allowed to do that. To do three or four mile an hour through a village, if you'd done more than that, you'd shake the windows out. You'd shake the windows out. The weight, you see. You've got you've got 21 foot wheels. 21 foot.
21 foot high.
Ah, and solid iron. So you can tell the vibrations. Eh? So you could stand up in these tenders and you could look through these little cottage bedroom windows and see people getting up in the morning. You know, you're so high, you see.
Any other rules you had to observe? that you were taught?
Yes, it was quite a lot. That was one that, you might have to get out and see that you was clear of going round corners and lots of little rentals like that. That had to be avoided. Yeah.
Now, they're talking about traction engines, but can you teach them?
Another thing is this. You've got to watch what bridges you're going over. If you're going over a bridge that won't take the weight of your engine, you're in trouble again. You see, but what they used to do, they used to run a course. The officers used to go with the cars and run a course. And if there was any railway bridges, what you had to go under, and they thought you wouldn't make it, I've been as many as 5 or 6 miles out of my way to miss a bridge. Because it's that safe. And if you're going over a river bridge, we'll say, you're taking a load, what you're supposed to do is to unhitch your engine, run that over the bridge, then run your wire rope out and fasten that onto your trailer and draw that one over after. You're going to split into two.
Any other things you had to watch out for that you were taught?
Oh, yes. Cattle and things like that, you know.
What did you have to do about it?
Frightening them with blowing your whistle. You had to get a blow your whistle. There was a coincidence that I was taking some 4 yards. 4 yards of gravel. That's a 4 ton. A yard of gravel is about a ton. So I used to take about 4 or 5 yards to a parade ground to resurface it with gravel. And on this here journey, as I used to do, there was a ford. You went down a bit of hill, and then there was a ford, and then you went up. Well, the cavalry used to have the horses, bring the horses down there to wash the feet, I suppose, something, you know, do the feet good. And I had a journey for a stoker. And he put in for a pass. And he was supposed to go on the Friday night, you see, or the Saturday morning, mostly. Well, he lived at Newcastle. And he said to me, he says, "This ain't much good to me," he says. "By the time..." He says, "I catch a train in the morning, and by the time I get to Newcastle," he said, "it'll be time to come back." He said, it won't be worth it. I says, "Well, you'll get paid Friday dinner time." I says, "Take a chance and go a Friday dinner time." He says, "But you're doing a load of Saturday morning, didn't you?" I says, "Ah." He said, well, will you be all right? I said, yes, that'll be all right. I said, you get your skates on and go. Well, he went. I got four watches of gravel on, and I'm going down this hill, and I'm going to slip the gears over, and I missed them. And she was in free engine, and there was only one way I could stop her, and it was by reaching over the other side of the tender to pull the reversing lever back. But I couldn't do it because I got a steer with it, with this one, and to reach over about as far as the other side of that table.
A good yard or so then.
Ah, and I got to pull the brake on. Well, I couldn't do it, so I had to let a chance take a chance, let her go. And of course, going, I blew the whistle in case any of the horses were there, but fortunately they wasn't there on the Saturday morning. Well, you know, I went down there with my heart in my mouth. I went through the ford and up the other side, and when she come to a stop, I got out of the tender and I laid on the grass bank on the side of what it was. I thought, thank God for that. I managed to keep it in control for that wetting. But you come to take 4 tonne of gravel and picking up speed going down. Of course, I know very well if I managed it down as far as the water, I know very well that I should be all right on the other side of it. And I managed all right.
It's lucky the cavalry weren't there.
Oh, yes. If the cavalry had been there, I should have cut them up. But they always used to open the horses out to let us get through, you know, for the cavalry.
Now, did you start going on jobs like this from Grove Park while you were training there? Or did you stay at Grove Park after you'd done your training?
No. They sent us to different places. They sent us to farmers.
Now, did you go to first to go? Because you actually were on a railway engine for a while, weren't you? You were on a railway engine for a while, weren't you?
Yeah. That was running from Cudford, to Salisbury Plains. There was a.
Was that your first job after you'd been trained?
No. I done a job from Aldershot to Liss, to a fruit farmer's.
What was that with the traction engines?
that was with a Foden wagon.
A what?
A Foden wagon. They got a fruit farmer. And then, of course, there were lots of mules in that First World War, and they'd stacked muck up in the muck heaps, you know, in the bays. Oh, rows and rows and rows of it. So they struck a bargain with this here farmer to give him the manure, but we'd load it with a fatigue party at Aldershot End, and he'd unload it with his farm labourers at the other end. But it didn't work as well as it was expected.
Why was that?
Well, we kept our part of the contract all right, but his part of the contract was this, that he was cut, of course, labour was cut in the war, same as any wanted. He was short of men. Well, several times I was put down to do about 3 load a day. Well, when I got there, sometimes there was no men or no farmer, nobody to be found. So I went over to a little cottage and I said, does a farmer live here? And she said, yes. I said, well, where is he? I've brought a load of manure. Oh, she said, he's over the fields. Well, you've got another half a mile to walk to find him and his men. And I said to him, I said, this would do. I said, I'm put down for 3 loads a day. I said, if I, they want to know what I'm doing about it. So he says to me, he says, well, he says, I don't always know when you're coming or what time you'll be here. I said, well, I blow my whistle every time I come to let you know that I'm here. But anyway, we struck a bargain with him.